What would we do, brethren, if the President of the United States were here with us today at Sabbath service? It's not likely, it's true. But what if he was? For our Canadian brethren, what would we do if Queen Elizabeth II came to our Sabbath service? What would we do? How would we react? What would our behavior be like? In the sermonette today, brethren, what I'd like to do is review some guidelines as to what our proper behavior during Sabbath services should be. Now, this is not a set of do's and don'ts from some non-existent Pharisaical church manual. What I'm going to give you today, brethren, are just some Bible-based common sense rules of manners, decency, and decorum. These are accepted standards which have been practiced in the Church of God for many years. Now, we know that human nature is very forgetful and is very self-justifying. Mr. Armstrong used to say that the human nature in us wants to be right, but it doesn't want to do right. It wants to be perceived as doing right, but it doesn't want to be perceived as doing wrong or being wrong. Another quirk of human nature, amongst God's people, of course, is that if a certain rule or a certain standard or a certain doctrine has not been reviewed from the pulpit for some time, or if it's not repeated regularly or frequently, then we tend to assume that it's no longer in force. So this is why we need weekly Sabbath services. This is why we need annual holy days, to keep reminding us and jogging our memory, to tweak our imperfect memories. Once upon a time, in the church, we met in congregations of multiple hundreds. I know that you did down here in Portland. I know Vancouver did. In Victoria, we had about 320 brethren when the numbers were at the most. We came each week to Sabbath services, tubbed and scrubbed, dressed in our Sabbath best, and we had a regular format that we went by. We knew when to fellowship and when to be quiet. We knew when to stand up and when to sit down. We knew when to sing. We knew when to expect a sermon, the announcements, and everything else. But now our CGG congregations are to the size of 20 or 30, and they're the large. You're one of the largest congregations in North America, in the world, for the Church of the Great God. Many of our scattered brethren are much fewer, little tiny groups phoning from their living room or from their basement. And because they're far apart from other brethren, that's the best that they can do, unfortunately. But we still, even in our living room groups, we still maintain the same format of Sabbath services that we have used for many, many years. And even though a small group size may, if we're not careful, lack the formality and respect for God that is absolutely necessary, there's really no excuse, brethren, that the small group size, there's no excuse that it should cause improper manners, improper dress, or disruptive behavior at Sabbath services. Again, let me ask you that question that I asked you at the beginning. How would we appear? How would we dress? How would we behave at services if the President of the United States were here today? Is God any less important than the President of the United States? We know the answer to that. Please turn over to Matthew chapter 18. All well-known scriptures today, brethren. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," says Jesus Christ, "there am I in the midst of them." We are more than two or three. We are gathered in Jesus Christ's name to be here. Jesus Christ, we believe, is here in spirit. Now our living rooms and our humble meeting halls, and this one is not going to be quite as humble anymore. They're doing it up quite nice by the looks of it. But they're still not, they're not magnificent palaces. They're not the White House. They're not wonderful big stone cathedrals as we see out there in the world. But here we see that when two or three of God's people gather together, God is in attendance with us. And it doesn't matter how humble the dwelling is. Since the scattering of the Church of God, there has been, by some, there has been some erosion of respect for long-standing Bible-based traditions and customs of the Church and proper formality during services. Now, it's not my job as a minister, and it's not a deacon's job either, to be a policeman. It's our responsibility, though, brethren, to maintain proper peace, proper decorum in services and other church events too. We don't have any desire to be policemen, and what we need is the backing of every single one of the members, and particularly the parents of the younger people. And we know that the standards can vary somewhat for proper, as to what is proper Sabbath day conduct. But during Sabbath services, before and after services, we must err on the side of peace and quiet. When we come together on the Sabbath, or on a holy day, on a feast day, the Feast of Tabernacles, we come to worship God, to learn from God, and to fellowship together. We should be coming together in an attitude of God's way of give. And what I'd like to give you now is 12 points briefly to help towards proper behavior for Sabbath services. The first one is, please plan to be at every service. Don't miss services for trivial reasons. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 25, this is one of John Reed's favorite scriptures. Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." And again, I look around today and I see an exceptionally good attendance, especially on such a hot day, when there might be some people who are saying, "It's too hot, I don't want to go there and sit in services today." That's good. Some people might say, "Do we have to be at services? Do we have to go to services?" Maybe we could listen to the sermon later on a tape or over the internet. Well, yes, you could. But maybe that particular week that you decide to stay away, it was more than the sermon that you needed to hear that day. Maybe you needed to hear the sermonette. Maybe it was extra specially important that you needed to fellowship on that day. Maybe there was something that you could give to another person on that day. Maybe the hymn singing is what you needed on that day, or maybe there was a particular announcement that you especially needed to hear. So try and be at services every week. And number two is listen. Be attentive and listen to every part of the service, to the sermonette, to the sermon, of course. We come to services, we attend every week to learn from God and to learn about God. I would say that for the most part, God inspires the teaching in His church. I hope He does. I hope and pray every, I know that every minister prays that God will inspire the message that they will give. Every speaker, not just the ministers. And we try, and every speaker is very different from every other speaker. Look at the sermonette men here. And they all, I've been listening to the Portland tapes over the last couple of weeks, and they're all different. And it adds colour. Just the difference between the style of the different speakers makes it very diverse and colourful. And I believe that God did that to make it more interesting and enjoyable for you. Again, listen to the announcements. Note any changes any times or locations or for services and other activities. There's nothing so frustrating as somebody who is doing something else during the announcements who comes up later on and says, "Where was the potluck today? You know, going to be or something like that." Listen to the prayer requests is very special as well, brethren. We have some members around the world in very dire straits, in some terrible illnesses, accidents, and those things. People who really do need our prayers. And I think of James chapter 5, and let's turn there. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So please listen to those announcements and please listen to those prayer requests and please remember those brethren. Another aspect towards effective listening is it's good to try and leave the rear seats in the group for parents with young children if you possibly can. They're the ones who might need to get up and take the children out. So if you try, for those of you who don't have children, to be able to avoid any disturbance as well, if you can choose a seat closer to the front, a little thing that is helpful. Number three, don't interrupt others. Please don't you be the individual who initiates a disturbance to the other brethren. Please don't let your family, your children, be the family that initiates or permits a disturbance towards the other brethren. Please don't shuffle. It just sounds like a little thing, but it can be very disturbing. Get your books and children's activities ready before services. These are just some ideas. Not during the first hymn. Not during the beginning of the sermonette. This can be very distracting for the song leader or the sermonette man. And it's rude and it's disrespectful as well. So try and do that. And at the end of the services, don't start putting your books away when you hear the sermon speaker say, "And now for my final scripture." That's the kiss of death for the sermon man when he says that and everybody starts putting their stuff away. Number four, sing. And I'd like to give a whole sermonette on this. But why are some of God's people ashamed of singing songs of worship to the great God who is here with us? There's nothing to be ashamed of. Rather, it's a shame and it's an affront to God if we stand there with our mouths closed during the hymn singing. The scriptures encourage us, brethren, to sing praises to God. Please turn to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 and verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing to the Eternal. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. hearty hymn singing is good for us, and it's good for God the Father and Jesus Christ too. It's an enjoyable offering to them. When you're singing those hymns, think about the words. If you don't think about the words, then they just become another vain repetition. So sing to the great God with gusto, and don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Number five, keep the hall tidy. Please make sure that your children pick up any papers or any trash that they leave on the floor or on the seats. It's a parental duty to do that, and it's very helpful for those who tidy up after services. Not picking on the children now, I'm not picking on the parents. But number six, teach your children to stay quiet during services. Prepare, and this takes preparation, it takes effort. Prepare your children for quiet behavior. It's only 2 hours. It's not a long time. I know it is for little children. But if you will train them at home to sit quietly and respectfully when they come to services, it is necessary for a peaceful and orderly Sabbath service. Don't let them be running in and out to the restroom there. Take them to the washroom, the restroom, 10 minutes or so before services, and don't let them be wandering in and out of the hall. It's usually unnecessary, and it's just that they want to get up and stretch their legs. It can be distracting and annoying for other brethren. Number seven, bring appropriate toys and activities for the children. Even if you bring a lot of them, that's fine, it doesn't matter. But bring quiet toys. You know, don't bring noisy rattles or other noisy toys. You might think that it's cute and it's humorous if your little boy or girl squeezes his rubber ducky in the middle of services, but the people who are sitting around you won't. Okay. For older children, we can tend as parents, we can tend to tune it out, you know, these noises, but these noises can be, you know, if you've got older children clicking on a pen all the way through the sermon like that, you know, it drives you out of your mind. It does me anyway. Or tearing pages out of books, crumpling paper. Little things, but things that can be really bothersome when you're really trying to concentrate on the message. If your children are perhaps too young to follow along with the messages, then please bring appropriate reading matter, appropriate books to services. Not, as I have seen, don't bring ghost stories. Don't let them bring ghost. They shouldn't have those books even in the house, never mind bringing them to services. Not gory or violent tales. This is God's Sabbath service. It's God's day. Please keep Satan completely out of it. Okay, number eight. For those of you with really young children, please try to time the baby's nap for the service period, say noon to 1:30, especially when the sermon is on. And that takes effort too at home. You need to do some blanket training on a daily basis. And many of the older people here, who've had children that have grown up, and we've done it, we've been there. So you don't have to be people with young children, you don't have to be ashamed or you don't have to be embarrassed by it. We've been through it. We know what it's like. We know that it's not easy, but it's something that really helps. It'll help you, and it helps, and it's a real help, and it's part of the way of give for the other brethren too. Can be done, and it'll save you a lot of in and out of the hall. Number nine, regarding the mother's room, please use the mother's room properly. Of course, if your child cries or makes any other noise, take the baby out right away. Do not try and tough it out, hoping that the baby will soon quiet down and go asleep. The baby can be screaming its head off in service. Is it okay? He'll go away. He'll go to sleep in 15 minutes. It'll be fine. No. So be considerate and spare a thought for the other members there. and in the mother's room as well. That's not a place to go and let your children run around and scream and play in there. That's somewhere where you need to go and quieten the children down. Number 10, I won't say much on this. Discipline the children if necessary, but especially at the Feast of Tabernacles, it's got to be in a totally private place. You don't want to get yourself in trouble. You don't want to get the church in trouble. Make sure that if you're going to discipline the child, it's got to be in a totally private place. And at the feast, the hotel restroom, public restroom in a hotel, is not a private place. Number 11. Again, a bit of repetition here, but don't let the children wander in outside the meeting hall during services, either alone or in groups. It's especially important for the safety of the young children, but it's also important for the teens too. Children belong in the meeting hall with you parents. And this rule is proper for proper respect and worship to God, and it's a good example for the church to the community. Number 12, and last but not least, don't let the children sit unsupervised. Again, it's usually more of a problem at the feast when you've got a big hall and the children are out of sight, out of mind. And this goes for teens and preteens. Again, 2-hour service period is really short. It's not appropriate to be passing notes to fellowship or to be giggling or whispering. It's annoying for other people sitting around, and there's lots of time before services, lots of time after services to be able to do that. Now again, for the parents, don't tune out. Watch your children, keep an eye on them, and don't let them be distracting to other members. If you have another member's children sitting with you, it's your responsibility. You then become their parent while they're sitting with you, and just, again, don't let them disturb others. These things, again, are not limited to children, as the adults too. And we all need to examine our own behavior at service. And just think about that, what we would do if the President were here, if Queen Elizabeth were here, and let us make those necessary adjustments. I don't usually finish with a scripture, but I will this once. Please turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 40. Speaking to God's people, God's congregation in Corinth, let all things be done decently and in order.